Good evening, folks. Glad that you could be with us tonight for our prayer meeting. And I trust that you're gathered together as a family to listen to this. And then after the devotion, I trust that you spend the time together praying for the prayer requests that were sent out as well. So let's start with a word of prayer before we look tonight at Psalm 105. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful for this opportunity that you give us once again to be gathered together. I pray, Lord God, that you would help us as we look at your word. I pray tonight that you would help us to understand it and help us to apply these wonderful and great truths to our life. Lord, as we gather to pray together, I also pray that you would help us, Lord, as we pray. And Father, we just thank you for the wonderful privilege to come before your throne as individuals and as families. So Lord, we look forward to your answers. We look forward to your moving amongst us tonight, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles, please, and open up to Psalm 105. And I'd like to read the psalm before we look at it. And follow along as I read, please. Psalm 105. O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. He sent Moses his servant and Aaron whom he had chosen. He showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. He spake, and there came divers sorts of flies and lice in all their coasts. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines also and their fig trees and brake the trees of their coast. He spake, and the locusts came and caterpillars, and that without number, and did eat up all the herbs in the land, and devoured the fruit of their ground. He smote also all their firstborn in the land, the chief of all their strength. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give them light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant, and he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. So here we have the wonderful 105th Psalm. And the main theme of this psalm is God's covenant with Abraham to give him the promised land. It provides encouragement and assurance to the audience that they are entitled to the land of Israel by divine right. Even though the human author of this psalm is not mentioned, it is more than likely David, as the first 15 verses of Psalm 105 were used as a hymn when the ark was carried from the house of Obed-Edom. And that we can read in 1 Chronicles 16, verses 7 to 22. So in your own time, look that up and compare the two. The last psalm we looked at, of course, was Psalm 104, which is a song about the creation of God from Genesis 1 and 2. While this psalm takes us, though, to the book of Exodus. Psalm 105, and next week, Lord willing, we will see 106. They are companion psalms. Psalm 105 sets forth the record of God's faithfulness, and Psalm 106 sets forth the record of Israel's faithlessness. The one speaks of God's favor, the other speaks of Israel's failure, which again, Lord willing, we will see next week. Both of these Psalms, 105 and 106, deal with the Egyptian and wilderness experience of the nation of Israel. I'd like to bring your attention to a couple of words in the psalm that will help us to better understand it. And the first being in verse 1, the word deeds, to make his deeds, to make known his deeds among the people. The word here for deeds means exploits. And think about that. Think about the exploits of God and the great deeds that he has done. Verse 19, notice with me the word tried. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. And here the word tried means to refine. And of course, this is in reference to Joseph when he was sent down to Egypt before his family. This was done to refine him. In verse 22, you will notice the word senators, and to teach his senators wisdom. This word means an elder person, a person who is mature. And notice also in verse 23, and the phrase here, the land of Ham. Well, of course, Ham was one of Noah's sons, and history tells us that Ham and his family settled the land of Egypt. So Egypt is called the land of Ham. And we can see this from Genesis chapter 10, verses 1, and then if we skip down to verses 6 through 20, and Genesis 10 is that chapter we call the Table of Nations. To deal subtly in verse 25 means to act treacherously. And then in verse 32, the mention of hail and flaming fire in their land, that means literally lightning flashes. So these are some words to help us better understand the psalm. And notice with me also, please, the outline of the psalm. notice the first stanza, verses 1 through 7, we see a call to praise. In the second stanza, verses 8 through 15, we see the covenant with Abraham. In the third stanza, verses 16 to 22, we see disciplinary measures. In the fourth stanza, verses 23 to 38, we see deliverance. And then finally, the fifth stanza, verses 39 to 45, we see a promise kept. So let's take the remainder of our time together and meditate on the psalm and see what we can learn from it. And let's look at the first stanza together, again, verses 1 through 7. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing praises unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. So again, in this first stanza, the psalm begins with a call to praise. And it ends with the reason for that praise. And the reason is that he is the Lord our God. And this really is the theme of this whole psalm. First, that the Lord is our God. And second, that his judgments are in all the earth. And through the rest of this psalm, this twofold theme is expanded. If you can come to the place where you can say, the Lord is our God, it will be much easier for you to appreciate the rest of this psalm. Now, of course, we know that this psalm is written primarily to the Jewish nation, but there are principles and truths for every Christian today that we can apply to our lives, especially when we think of verse 5, where it says, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. And just take a moment and reflect on the wonders and reflect on the marvelous works that God has done in our own lives. First off, with his saving us, and then what he continues to do in our lives each day. Notice with me now, please, the second stanza, verses 8 to 15, and it says there, he hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. So again, in this second stanza, these verses speak of the covenant which the Lord made with Abraham, which he also confirmed with an oath. And then he also made this covenant to Isaac and to Jacob, being that he would give to them and their seed after them the land of Canaan forever. He made this covenant unconditional. And at a time when they were very few and they were even strangers in the land that they were living. But he remembered that covenant, and he always will remember that covenant. He has been faithful to his word and had shown many evidences of his favor to those who do not merit it. So we must remember, even today, friends, that the land of Israel is given to Abraham and his family by divine right. God gave them that land, and it is theirs forever. Notice with me, please, the third stanza, verses 16 through 22. We read this. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. So here in this third stanza, in love for them, because they had not been faithful to him, he had to discipline them so that he might accomplish his ultimate purpose. And these were the measures. He brought a famine to Canaan. He sent Joseph to Egypt before them. And of course, we know that this was done when his brothers sold him into slavery. And finally, Israel, or Jacob, came down to Israel. He multiplied them greatly. Turn with me, please, in your Bible to Exodus chapter 1. And I would like to read the first seven verses of Exodus chapter 1 concerning this, how he multiplied them. Now, these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. So we see how God multiplied them while they were there in the land of Egypt. He did for them there what would have been humanly impossible for them in Canaan. For isolated as they were in Egypt, they could grow in numbers and strength. And in Canaan, their growth would have made them the object of attack by the Canaanites. In the fourth stanza, follow as I read verses 23 to 38. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their hearts to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. He sent Moses his servant and Aaron whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. He spake, and there came divers sorts of flies and lice in all their coast. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines also and their fig trees and brake the trees of their coast. He spake, and the locusts came and caterpillars, and that without number. He did eat up all the herbs in the and did eat up all the herbs in the land and devoured the fruit of their labor, of their ground. He smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. So here in the fourth stanza, we see that he did even more. After he had accomplished his purpose for them in Egypt, he delivered them from their enemies. He sent Moses, and he executed judgment on their oppressors. And this we know being the 10 plagues. And we can read all about this in the early chapters of Exodus. And then he brought them out with a mighty hand, and he brought them out rich, so that their oppressors were glad to see them leave. And of course, we know this is the Passover, and a holiday that our Jewish friends still celebrate today to remember God's redemption and God redeeming them and God leading them out of the land of Egypt. And this here in the psalm is a reminder of God's mighty work in taking his people out of the land of Egypt. And now in the fifth and final stanza, I'd like to read verses 39 through 45. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. And he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness and gave them the lands of the heathen. And they inherited the labor of the people that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. So in this fifth and final stanza, the psalmist tells how God cared for them by day and by night. And the mention here of the glory cloud, the Shekinah glory, that led them in the day by a pillary cloud and led them by night by a fiery cloud and the light, and it gave them light at night. And it also talks how he led them and preserved them, and he fed them, and he gave them water, and how he also gave them the land which he had promised so long ago to Abraham, and which the people had made ready for them to enjoy in order that they might observe his statutes and keep his law. So friends, as we read this marvelous song, this marvelous psalm concerning the record of God's faithfulness and his promise and the undeserved favor on his part which he showed his people, we too can end as the psalmist did by saying hallelujah, which means, of course, praise ye the Lord. Notice that there is not any failure mentioned in this psalm, because the psalmist is telling us what God did, and he never fails. What a wonderful promise that is, that God never fails. So tonight, my dear friends, as we gather to pray, may we remember and thank him for all his wonderful and marvelous works that he has done for us. And may we also praise his name and say hallelujah, because he never fails. I would ask you, as always, dear friends, in the week ahead, once a day, please read Psalm 106 to prepare us for next week. And friends, I also, with the attachment for this audio, I sent attachments for prayer requests. So please, friends, as you gather tonight as individuals and as family and maybe in small prayer groups, would you please pray through them, read them, and then pray through them. And listen to the link as well. I sent two songs that go along very well with this psalm. Please listen to those songs to prepare your hearts as you worship the Lord tonight in your homes. So may the Lord bless you tonight, folks, and we will see you next time. Thank you and good night.